It's quite a deep passage, really, to speak on. And it worked really well at our first service, which was obviously a service of Holy Communion. And that passage really does fit in so well with a service of Communion. But we're not sharing Communion at this service, but even so. Who has had bread this morning? Anyone had bread this morning, Paul? Toast?
Yep.
Some toast? I had some toast. Balar, you've had some toast, have you? Anyone else? Bread? Most people will have bread. Throughout the course of today, you'll have bread at some point, won't you? Possibly. Particularly on a working day, I'm sure most people take sandwiches or something to work, or whatever it might be, whether you have a... I don't know. But most people will have bread at some point. It's a staple diet. And I was just thinking, as Ruth was reading then, I've just been thinking, obviously we've just come back from France, and it's a common sight, as many of you I'm sure will know, in France, to see people walking around with a baguette under their arm, and they've just been to buy the baguette from somewhere, and it's an everyday scene that you see people doing that. And every morning I would traipse down to the shop and I would get two baguettes, or maybe some croissants or something. Bread, staple part of the diet. Staple part. Sorry, Tom would traipse down to the shop. Sorry, I'm telling fibs. We'd send Tom or Andrew to go. I did go about 6 or 7 times. Anyway, there you go. Right, bread. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh," he says, "which I will give for the life of the world." Bread's been a hugely important part of the Bible. If you read your Bible, references to bread are scattered throughout the Bible, right from the beginning in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 14 is the first reference to bread. And then it goes on throughout the New Testament as well. You'll know some of these where Jesus feeds the 5,000 with bread from the small boy who brought his loaves of bread. There's lots of different famous passages regarding bread. Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And in this passage, Jesus says, "I am the living bread." Bread sustains life. But what is Jesus actually trying to teach us here in this passage? Well, he's saying that he is the living God. He's the giver of life. But in the verses, he's very clearly teaching us that he's also about to die. He's about to give his life so that we might have life. That's what he's saying in those verses. I think it's, what page is it, Nick?
91.
Page 91, if you want to follow it. We're going to be looking through that, what he's actually saying. I'm just going to unpick it for a few minutes. So this bread is my flesh, he says, which I will give for the life of the world. Basically, what he's saying is that the old order of things, the Jewish system, which he'd been brought up in, and the people of the day will be hearing this, they were of that old Jewish system. He's saying that old order of things is not good enough. The old system has failed because mankind has failed, because we are sinners. We're full of sin. We failed. On his own, on her own, mankind cannot ever restore that relationship with God, which was broken so long ago by our disobedience to God's laws. There has to be another way of restoring that relationship. And what Jesus is saying here is that he is the way. He is the living bread. He goes on to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So that's the first ordinary image that I want to pick up on. And the second ordinary image from that passage is the theme of blood. And the first reference to blood in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 10, where Abel's blood, it says, cries out to God from the ground. And we're reminded here that this is the first recorded death in the Bible, first recorded death in history. What symbolized death was the shedding of blood. Genesis chapter 9, we're brought face to face with a very important reality for the Jewish race. Blood equals life. To the Jew, blood belonged to God. And that's why, to this day, an Orthodox Jew will never eat any meat which has not been completely drained of blood. And Jesus, in these verses, is teaching that we need to eat and we need to drink of him, is what he's saying. "I tell you the truth," verse 53, "unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood," he says, "you have no life in you." So as we look at these verses, it seems really difficult for us to get our heads around, really, to eat his flesh and to drink his blood. It's weird stuff to be thinking about. But for a Jew of the day, they would understand completely what he was talking about, because they'd been brought up around that sacrificial system. They would understand very well what Jesus was actually implying when he said that. And it was radical, to say the least. What was he saying? Well, he was saying, talking about this old sacrificial system. The animal, when it was sacrificed, was very seldom burnt in its whole entirety. Not the whole animal was burnt. Usually only a small part, a token, was burnt as an offering on the altar. The whole animal was offered to God, but only a token was burnt on the offering. Part of the flesh was then given to the priests, which was their entitlement, and then part was given to the worshipper to make a feast for himself and his family and all those who were gathered within the temple precincts. They would have this feast on the rest of this flesh. And at that feast, God himself was understood to be present, because they thought as they'd offered the flesh to God, God had entered in to the very flesh of that animal. And so they thought that God was present with them as they worshipped and as they feasted. And as they ate this sacrificial offering, they thought that they were then God-filled. You might have heard of Christians saying that we're God-filled. The idea was that as they ate this offering, they were filled with God's presence. They were God-filled. Jesus doesn't say, taste and sip. He actually says, eat and drink. He doesn't say, just taste. And I think a lot of people in the world today would love to just to taste and see if this is right for them. Is this Christian stuff right? I'll just taste. I'll just have a little sip and just see if it's right for me. And if not, I'll decide against that. I think a lot of people would like to do that. But Jesus says, no, you've got to eat and you've got to drink. We need Jesus in our lives. You must drink of my blood, he says. What a massive, radical statement that is. And what a huge, radical statement for a Jew to take on board. You must be filled with Jesus. That's what he's saying. You've got to be filled with me. God filled. Be filled by my spirit. But for this to become a reality, Jesus had to become the offering. Remember the sacrificial offering? Jesus had to be that sacrificial offering. And here we're reminded again that Jesus was to become the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the world. His blood was shed for you and for me, so that we might feast on him. And if we by faith ask Jesus into our lives, his blood will not only make us clean in God's sight, his blood will give us new life, his life. And that means that we will have Jesus in us. We will be God-filled. That's what that passage is about. It's quite a deep, complicated passage, but the question has to be asked here. I'm going to finish with this. Have you experienced that? Have you feasted on Jesus? Have you asked him into your life? Because when you ask him into your life, he fills you, and he fills you, and he offers to show us life in all its fullness. He offers us to have life in all its fullness. That means a life that is filled by him, where we are changed by him, where we are then led by him into whatever area he wants us to go. That doesn't mean that we have to stay here in these four walls. As Christians, we are called to go out. We should show that light out to other people out in the world. I think Christianity would be all the poorer if all we ever did was sit in here, worship God and stay here, and then left this building and were never actually living the life that Jesus wants us to live. When we're filled with God's Spirit, we're changed so that we actually go out there and make a difference in the world. We're called to be light. Salt and light makes a difference. So have you? Have you been Christ-filled? The great theme, I think, from John's Gospel is, as I said at the start, all about life. Life in all its fullness. And Jesus shows us how we can find that. So have you found it? Have you asked him into your heart? And remember, it's not just a matter of tasting or sipping. Jesus says you must eat and you must drink and you must be filled. Make sure
that Jesus is alive in you, and then you will have life. Life in all its fullness. And then it's just a matter of living that life for him. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for that passage. And sometimes when we read the Bible, Lord, they are difficult passages to grasp, difficult to understand, because we don't really understand the context and the time that that was said or done. But Lord, as we just have heard a little bit of the history, we begin to understand just how radical a statement that was. And Lord, you call us to be filled by you, to be filled by your Holy Spirit, that we might have life in all its fullness. We read in Jeremiah, Lord, that you have plans for us, plans for good. So Lord, we pray that we would be so filled by you that your plans for us would actually be carried out as we live lives that are pleasing to you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. I think in order to actually be aware of what God might be saying to us, sometimes we need to have our eyes opened. And that's in a different way. Sometimes we have to open our eyes to see where God might be working in other people, where God might be working in our hearts. And when you have your eyes open to God, it might be that you're just reading a passage from the Bible, and suddenly that passage might become really important, really special, really pertinent. And suddenly you'd be aware that actually that might be God speaking to you. It might be in a conversation with someone else that you're having. And suddenly they might say something and you think, wow, that's really spoken into a situation that I'm finding myself in. And that might be God speaking to you through someone else. But in order to be aware of that, we need to be spiritually filled, that God will actually open our eyes. And we're going to sing a song which actually says about that, and it's "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord," so that we can actually see where God just might be speaking to us. So we'll sing this, and then we'll just have a little bit of time of reflection, and then I'll lead us in a few prayers, and then we'll sing our final song. But after this, we'll just see where we go with it. But we'll sing this for now. Shall we stand? And let's sing.